Casey Scholes from VH1's Rock of Love, and this is Talk of Love, the new podcast. This isn't just reality, this is real life. Hey everyone, it's Lacey motherfucking Scholes, and this is Talk of Love, episode 28. So, as we all know, there's so much misery and horribleness in the news and in the world, and every time we turn on the TV. And I kind of want to break that up a little bit for you guys and give you something that's a little bit more cheerful than everything we've been seeing on TV lately and hearing that's going on in the world. So one thing about me that you guys should know is I am such a sucker for a really good, sappy, feel-good story. You know, it's funny because I'm so into like dark music and dark movies, and I'm like obsessed with Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson, and black is my favorite color that I wear every single day. Yet if there's a story about like a little boy saving a kitten from drowning, I'm like, oh, so sweet. And I just am such a sucker for it. And, you know, it's really funny because I remember, in fact, about 10 years ago, right before I met my husband when I was single, and I was living with a roommate, this girl named Yana, and she and I, it's really funny because I hate crying for some reason. I don't know what it is, but I cannot stand crying. I hate it. Like, I will not go to a movie that I know is going to be depressing or make me cry. I just like will avoid it at all costs. And, but Yana and I, maybe we were like a glutton for punishment because we were really obsessed with this one TV show. Do you guys remember that Home Makeover show where basically they would choose a family that was struggling and, you know, but maybe the family was doing something really good, like, you know, taking in foster children, something like that. And, but like their roof was falling apart. So the show would come and showcase them and tell their story about how they're fostering children and how they're helping their community, but their house is falling apart. And then at the end of it, they're like, and here's your new mansion. And Yana and I would just be like sobbing hysterically and yet like laughing at each other for and we would do this to ourselves every single week. It was just so ridiculous, but I loved it. And even now, you know, there's a website called The Dodo. It's on Twitter and they have a Twitter account. They have an Instagram account and it's basically like sappy stories of people saving animals. And it's really funny because my husband knows how much I hate to cry, but he'll come into the bedroom sometimes and he'll look at me. I'll be on my phone, just like tears gushing. And he's like, babe, what's wrong? And I was like, his little girl saved the dog. And he's just like, you're ridiculous. I'm like, no, it's really sweet. So I am such a sucker for those stories. I love it. So I heard one recently that just happened and I thought it was a really, really sweet story. So I thought I would share it with you guys. So basically about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago in Peoria, Illinois, there was these two boys that were 13 years old, and they decided to set up a lemonade stand and sell lemonade to the neighbors. So they were doing pretty well. People were coming along and buying their lemonade. And then a man shows up and sticks a gun in their face. These boys are 13 years old, sticks a gun in their face and steals all their money. And I think they only had like 30 or 40 bucks or something like that. But I mean, that was unbelievable to hear that somebody could do that. I mean, that's like a whole other level of evil. And so, of course, these poor boys were, not only did they lose their money, but they were super traumatized. And so the police were called. The police then notified the boys' parents and said, hey, your boys are okay, but just so you know, they just got robbed at gunpoint. So anyway, so the word spread throughout the neighborhood that this had happened to these boys, and everybody, rightfully so, was incredibly upset and angered. And, you know, not only did these kids have their money stolen, but also like talk about destroying someone's faith in humanity, you know? So I know that they all came together. This is what I read. They all came together to try to kind of make this situation right for these boys. And it started with the police, and the police came and they ended up each buying a lemonade from the boys, but they gave them like 20 bucks for each lemonade. But then all the neighbors started joining in and giving the boys money and buying lemonade and giving them like 100 bucks here, 50 bucks there. And then it spread to Facebook and just, you know, went viral. And so everybody, money was just like pouring in. Everybody was donating to their lemonade stand. And the boys ended up making over $3,000. And I was like, wow, that's such a great ending to such a horrible thing to have happened to these poor boys. So not only did they get their money back and then some, but it also showed them that not everybody is evil. And in fact, there's people that are going to go out of their way and you know, band together with a community to help you and make it right. So I thought that was such a sweet story. So yeah, that was about a week and a half ago, Peoria, Illinois, if you want to look it up. But yeah, they didn't catch the guy, at least not yet, that robbed them at gunpoint. But yeah, crazy, huh? So I thought that was really sweet. So hopefully you enjoyed that. We need more stories like that. You know, everything's just gotten so dark and depressing. So anytime I hear something like that, I'll definitely be sure to share it with you guys. So now to shift gears for a bit, I want to give a shout out to one of the contributors. I have a lot of great contributors to this podcast, but one in particular has just been so generous, and his name is Mike Paquette, and I want to give him a quick little shout out. Mike has been so good to me. He's been so good to the podcast. He has been so generous and really believes in me, believes in the podcast. I really, really appreciate him. And the other day I was talking to him. I'm like, hey, Mike, you know, I really want to do something special for you. What can I do in exchange for how generous you've been towards this podcast? And his answer just goes to show how big this guy's heart is. All he said is that he wanted me to promote an organization on the podcast. So that's what I'm doing. And the organization is the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, which is interesting because if you guys have watched previous episodes of this podcast, you'll know that that's something that has affected my life personally as well. And poor Mike, he lost his really good friend, Rachel, in July of 2018. He lost her to suicide. And so Rachel has there's a link that you can donate in her name to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And if you click on the description below this video on YouTube, I'll put the links for you. But basically, if you make a donation to them, it's not going to Rachel's family. It's not, you know, it's not going in anybody's pockets. It's just going to be a donation made in her honor to help keep her memory alive. And all the donations go directly to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So if you have a little extra cash, if you have $5 or whatever, please donate to them. They're a great organization and they exist off of donations and they really help a lot of people and provide a lot of great resources for those who are in a crisis situation. So definitely go check that out. And Mike, thank you so much for bringing that organization to my attention. You're awesome. You rock, my friend. And now to shift gears again, I am super, super excited for my next guests. So you guys know I'm a big fan of all of the Of Love shows, just like you guys. Daisy of Love was such a fun show. I loved the guys on there. They were hilarious. But Chi-Chi and Sinister in particular were my favorites. And I'm getting ready to bring them on. And I will say, when I went on Instagram last week and announced that they were going to be my next guests, you guys freaked out in a way that I haven't seen with any of my other guests, and I freaking love it. And everybody was like, oh my God, Sinister's so hot. Chi-Chi's so hot. I love Sinister. I love Chi-Chi. You guys are hilarious, and I love it, and I totally get it. Trust me, I totally get it. I love those two guys as well. So I'm excited to bring them on. Without further ado, please welcome Sinister and Chi-Chi from Daisy of Love and I Love Money. Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, Lacey? How you been?
Hey, what's up?
Been rocking and rolling. Yeah, I'm so, you know, it makes me so happy. I don't know why, but I'm like so happy that you guys are still friends with each other because like so many people have lost touch with each other, but you guys have maintained your friendship ever since the show, yeah?
Oh, forever, for life.
I mean, I know
yeah,
you
we're
guys,
best friends. Yeah,
I love. I mean, aside from the fact that like Chi-Chi, you talk shit about Sinister whenever he's not around. But like, oh, was I not supposed to? I kid. Look, I'm already.
Yeah, I would never.
Already starting trouble. It's what I do. It's what I do. No, I'm totally teasing. I love you guys, and I just want to say for a moment, Sinister. You and I sort of kind of knew of each other before all of the reality stuff. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think
the rock and roll life.
The rock and roll life. I know. I think it's just really cool how we never lived in the same state even, but just like our different worlds have managed to, you know, collide and cross. And
yeah.
I remember it, I think it was 2005. My band Nocturne toured with Dope and Mushroomhead, and
right.
And I became friends with Edsel, who's the singer of Dope. And I remember he had like so many stories about you, and you were like this like iconic guy. And it was like it was always good. It was always like entertaining. Like, oh my God, you got to meet this guy. He's totally like out of his mind, but in like a really fun, awesome way. And then sure enough,
we had so much fun on that tour, didn't we?
Yeah. So did you tour in Dope or was your band touring with Dope?
at that moment, I'm trying to think if that was my other band or I must have been playing bass for Dope or I was in Twisted Method. I can't really remember.
Yeah, Twisted Method. That's right. That's right. That's what it was. I remember hearing like so many stories about you guys and they were all just
That's when I had the big mohawk and the furry pants.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so awesome. I love it. So now, did the two of you become friends on Daisy of Love or did you know each other before the show?
Oh, we knew each other before the show.
Yeah. He lived with Edsel Dope. And then I moved into the house with those guys. And like you just said, he was touring crazy. And he was a cool guy. And then we just became best friends. Like we both lost our girlfriends or something. And we just like broed out.
That's so rad. That's what a small world. That's so crazy. Cause I love Edsel. Edsel's like just been so good to me over the years. And I love Dope, but also he's really given me like a lot of chances and really helped me out. If I need something like, hey, Edsel, I'm looking for like a good producer. He's like, I got you. Here's this guy. Like he's like resource man.
Yeah, he's a good musical like mentor, you know? He's a good musical mentor for sure.
Exactly.
I learned some tricks off of him, that's for sure.
Say that again?
I learned some tricks off of him, that's for sure.
Right? Yeah, that's so cool. It's such a small world.
He makes everybody's life better. Like he's just, that's what kind of person he is. He's a badass.
Yeah, I completely agree. So Chi-Chi, what was going on in your life back before Daisy of Love and all these shows?
I worked as a pipe fitter in Chicago.
Okay.
You gotta work all done drinking before.
No, that's what I know.
For the union, you can't giggle as you're saying it because it just sets it up.
You got it.
Well,
yeah,
I was in the union as a pipe fitter, 597, and then I was in bands, and that's it. And
hey,
I just traveled.
It pays the bills, man. And like everybody knows being a musician is like hard to make money. So you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
And I always hang out with my family. That's what I like to do.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then how on earth did you guys end up from that getting into reality TV stuff?
Well, we were hanging out in Chicago and
Edsel was supposed to take him to the audition. In Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, but we were hanging out every day at that point and we were just doing whatever, you know? So
Edsel didn't want to take him. And I didn't want to take him either because I was like covered in dirt and like I work, I'm just a normal guy, you know?
And then I was like, well.
And then I'm like, fine, I'll take you. And I'm just waiting in the hallway while he's doing his interview. And he comes out and goes, they want to talk to you too. Because he talks so much about me, I guess.
Well, we were arguing on the way up about Daisy. Anyway, like we showed up there arguing about her. So she's like, maybe I should try out. Maybe we can have a connection or something. And I was just like, what? And then it was just on. They saw that and they just casted us both.
They casted both of us. I felt so blessed just to be invited there. I was like, yes.
But it was pretty funny. We were already getting into it before.
You guys were freaking, you're lucky that you had each other on. Because it's like, it's such insanity being on these shows. And you don't really know what you're getting yourself into or exactly what you're signing up for, you know? And like, I'm sure you guys know on my season, I was the villain character. And like everybody in the house hated my guts, which was all like fun and funny. And like, it was, you know, I'm just such like a mischievous kind of person anyway. And so it was like funny for me to like piss off all these girls until everything was calm. And I'm like, suddenly I'm like sitting here all alone.
Yeah, like, so what's up with you? What are you doing? Like, get away from me. Like, oh man, come on, man. The camera's around you. Come on, you gotta throw me a bone.
We got people hanging out. Eliminated in the hotel before the filming of Daisy of Love, where they have everybody in there and they say, stay in your rooms. And we tapped into the phone line and started calling all the other rooms and saying, we need you because we had the room list.
As you know, you're not allowed out of the hotel. Like they want you to stay
in the place. Like, we need you down to the front office. This is BH 151 Mines. We need to talk to you. And he's like, no, we can't come out of a room. No, it's okay. Come down. And they would get kicked out. And we had Pink Dot delivering us all sorts of stuff. And we had like,
he was like three rooms down from me. So I had the dental floss thrown over the side.
Yeah.
You've got
whatever
like
you wanted. Handed it a cigarette lighter.
Wow. That's amazing. So like already the producers are like, okay, see what we're dealing
with.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's amazing. Fun. So did you know who Daisy was? Had season 2 of Rock of Love aired at that point or not yet?
Oh, yeah. I was fully aware of the whole situation.
Okay. Okay.
He was like, I like her. I love her. Don't talk about her.
I'm
like,
okay. What? So you were actually kind of like vibing her and digging her and that sort of thing?
I would give it a shot.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. What about you, Chi-Chi?
Me? Yeah. I like everyone until they like prove that I don't like them, maybe.
Oh.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
I give everyone a chance, but yeah, everybody likes to hold some girl's hand in public. It's hot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, look at what's up.
He's like, yeah, why, yeah, me too. I'm like, you too? And then that was.
I mean, back then, I was a different person back then. So back then, I'd be like, yeah. But now I like. I look at things different, you know, so it's hard to answer the question.
Yeah, I totally get it. I mean, I think that we've all, I mean, it's been 10 years, so hopefully.
Yeah, I want a mom. I want like someone to be a good mom. Like 10 years ago, I was like, woo, body shots.
Right? Trust me. I was like, thought it was an amazing idea to slam Jägermeister and crawl across a bar in Las Vegas while cameras are pointing at me. And now I'm like, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Yeah. In hindsight.
Man, that was the good old days. That was fun.
It was really
fun. Sister still is like that.
Yeah.
Sister hasn't skipped a beat. He's the host of everything. Like he hosts like iHeartRadio Fest, Country Music Fest.
Is he the best guy?
He is
every
the best.
Year. Yeah. He has a syndicator radio station.
The show, man. That's bullshit.
He's on like the top country stations in America, like 70 of them every Friday, Saturday night. On his radio station called Country Fried Mix. Like, he's just a rock star.
Get him, Cheech.
He's just amazing. A badass. Like, I love it.
He hasn't stopped grinding.
That's awesome. Well, Cheech, I got to say, you truly are like an amazing friend because it's really hard to like brag about yourself, but it's nice to have like your friend kind of pump you up a little bit. But I got to say, Sinister, I've always known you to be a very talented musician and you've always had this like... wild kind of like rock and roll personality. So like, I'm really happy that you're still doing this. And what's amazing to me is that you've been able to like cross all the different genres of music. Not a lot of people can do that. They're kind of like just, you know, stuck in one genre. But, you know, as you know, being a musician, you kind of got to go where the gigs are. You can't really be super picky. You do the gigs that you can take, but you're so talented and you've been able to be a part of like really successful bands in multiple genres. Like that's awesome.
Thank you for saying that. Well, I just feel like I just kind of do whatever. Like I lost my spot.
Yeah, he's been doing country music for 10 years now, almost big and rich.
I like to entertain. So like if this is a job to entertain, then I'm on board. I like to have fun and entertain. So I don't really care what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do like country. I do like music, period. So it doesn't really matter to me anyway.
Our first DJ gig was in, Villa Park, right? Illinois?
Yeah.
Dude, I had little parties.
I can't believe you made that.
We had like a little speaker with a little band head unit, and we just go to bars and like, give us a couple $100 and we'll host your party. And they'd say, yeah. And we just had iTunes and we were just trying. And just to see him like as a badass real DJ now is amazing.
That's
I always told him.
So rad. You know? I love it. So what are you doing? So you do music as well, you said, Chi-Chi?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do music every day. And then I work on the farm every day. And that's what I do. Every single day, like nonstop.
He did some videos and stuff that me and him did together production wise, and he's got some stuff was Bury the Dead or what is it? Bury the Jets.
Well, it's called
Bury the Rest.
Yeah, that was some stuff that we did together.
You got it on YouTube, you should check it out. It's pretty dope.
Okay.
Lion and Repose, I think, is a song that you have posted, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's pretty dope.
But I built two tiny houses, barns, ponds, big, huge dams. I got like pet deers and raccoons and like turkeys and chickens, goats,
far about there.
Muscle Beach. It's to Olympic specs with the pull-up bars, the parallel bars, uneven bars with like multiple trampolines and mattresses.
God.
And I'm doing like standing backflips, corkscrew neck breakers. And I fly kites. I go fishing.
Oh my God!
Food.
Can you guys like be my parents? Like, can I come move in with you guys? Because this sounds freaking amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun! I love going out there. He's got this whole like Chi-Chi land.
Yeah, no cell service, no Wi-Fi. Like, it's country, it's dark, and it's a lot of fun just to be in nature. And just perceive everything, all the beauty, and you know what I mean?
He's got to get away from the world. He's got a shovel in his hand at least once a day. He's out there building all kinds of stuff.
That's so rad. I love that. Yeah, I mean, I'm such a big nature person too. And my husband and I have dogs. We have big dogs because I'm like, I want to have a hiking partner. And so we always have to go and do like the hiking trail every day or just do something in nature. It keeps you grounded, you know, it keeps you sane to have that. So,
I like how you said grounded because I do that when I sleep too. And when you have your shoes off, you're absorbing all these electrons from the earth. And it cures a lot of stuff. It's scientific proof through brain scans and neurology and quantum physics and all that. And it just makes your life happier and better. So
I've actually heard that to be true as well. And in fact, I heard that there were studies done of people who live in like cities that are kind of concrete jungle type cities where there's just not a lot of nature they can get to. And maybe because of their work schedules or whatever, they're just not able to go out into parks or, you know, the woods or hiking or whatever. And those people typically are more depressed than people who do have the ability to kind of escape into nature and get their nature fixed. So yeah, you're totally right. I love it. I love it that you, I think it's a really good balance because I'm all about like the rock and roll lifestyle and partying. And, you know, I don't party as hard as I used to, but my husband and I will go out and, you know, live it up here and there. And, but like balancing it with nature, like we love being on the water, especially as well. And it's a good balance. You know, I think it keeps you rounded, you know, well-rounded.
So. Yeah, it's just the energy because you're in the city, all the people. So your energy will be better out there.
Yeah.
He loves coming out there.
He's definitely been more like just super laid back since he's been out there doing all that.
So speaking of drinking and partying, and Chi-Chi, I'm so sorry. You got to forgive me, but you're going to have to refresh my memory. I know that you mentioned the other day, we just talked for a second, and you mentioned that you and I actually hung out back in the day and... I don't remember it very well because it was probably a long time ago and my memory sucks. But more so than that, one thing I love going out and drinking is I'm like a really fun, happy drunk. However, it does mess with my memory, which really sucks. So sometimes if I don't remember something, I'm like, wait, was I drinking that night? Okay, that's probably why I have a foggy memory about that.
We were drinking. Sinister was in Dope and he was opening up for Black Label Society and you were at the concert.
Oh,
and
wow.
We were there with Daisy and me and Flex hitchhiked with two twins from Vegas.
Oh my God, I remember that.
And we got there somehow and like the stories are insane. I'm not going to go through them, but that's the night we hung out with you. And then we went to all these VIP clubs. Like,
oh my gosh, that was
the night. It was fun. And you were there the whole night, Lacey.
That's amazing. That's hilarious. Was this in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
I do remember
Los Angeles.
Okay. I must have been drinking that night. I do remember Black Label Society.
There's the line.
And I remember.
There's the line.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. That's so rad.
Yeah, and then fun.
And then Sinister, I have to scold you now for a minute. And but I haven't gotten to talk to you about this since it happened, but I gotta give you a hard time for a second.
Because that's what you do.
Okay. So, I Love Money 3. We're going to come back to Daisy of Love, but I got to talk about I Love Money 3. So
okay.
I remember when we were on that show, we first arrived in Mexico. It was like day one of filming. And I saw that you were there and I was like, oh my God, awesome, Sinister. And I was super stoked that you were there. And you were like super sweet to me. Like you were super friendly. And I was like, this is awesome. And so I immediately went into like my character that I do on these shows. And I was like, all right, we got to start scheming and we got to start like, you know, strategizing and who are we going to get out and who are we going to align with? And I was just like already go, go, go doing all that. And I remember talking to you and I was like, so everybody's kind of pairing off into alliances and that sort of thing. I'm like, you should join me. What do you want to do? What's your game plan? And you were just like, you know what? I like everybody here. I think everybody here is a nice person. I don't want to really go against anyone. I'm just trying to get along with everybody. And that was sort of your strategy. And I'm like, damn it, Sinister, no. Like diplomacy just does not work in reality television. And I was so bummed about that because I really wanted you on my team. But if it wasn't like an alliance, then there wasn't anything I could do to save anybody that wasn't in my exact alliance, you know? And then you end up getting voted out first. Is that right?
Yeah. They got rid of me first. You got me right out of there. I think the problem was I wasn't teaming up with you because I just wanted to feel everybody out. And I wanted to see, because you're a target anyway. You're going to be one of the first targets, I'm sure.
Yep.
So if I'm teaming up with you, that automatically makes me a first target.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know if we paired up, they would have been after us right away.
I see your point for sure, but you always have to remember I'm the master manipulator. So I knew going into that show that everybody was going to target me first. I just knew that was going to happen. So I was like, I got to figure out a way to outsmart all these people. And so I ended up making it to the very, very end. I think I was in the final six, I believe. And what I ended up doing was, were you, I can't remember, because I was on the green team. Were you on a team yet? Before there was like the green team and the gold team.
Yeah,
do you remember?
I think so. I think I remember. I think it was a green team. I think we were on the same team, right?
I think so. Yeah. I remember what I ended up doing so that I wouldn't get sent home is I made a deal with the gold team that I would throw every single challenge if they would promise to not send me home. And so that was
That's
how
good,
I was smart
it
in
worked.
The game. Clever, huh?
Yeah, pretty clever actually.
Yeah. I so. Yeah, my own team hated my guts and wanted to murder me every night in my sleep. But it was great because we would lose and they would put me on the chopping block and then the gold team would keep me because they knew that as long as I was in the game, they were never going to be on the chopping block. So like totally worked out.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I thought it would have been really fun to do the show with you. So I was like really super bummed.
I'm sure after a couple of days, we probably would have teamed up by then because I wouldn't know where everybody was lying. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Exactly.
I was just kind of holding off the first second just so I wanted to feel everybody out first.
Well, I mean, in theory, that does make sense, you know.
But so. It didn't work.
It's just everybody's so cutthroat on the shows, you know, so you always have to be like ahead of it, you know. So, okay, let's go back to Daisy of Love. Okay, so... let me pull up my notes because I have so many things I want to ask you. I want to make sure I don't leave anything out. Okay, so back to you guys' friendship. When you guys were on that show together, knowing that you guys both thought Daisy was hot and like, all right, I might be up for dating this chick, did you have any kind of like boundaries or like rules for each other to not step on each other's toes? Like, because I would imagine that would cause a rift in the friendship. And I know there was like a little bit of rockiness between the two of you, but I didn't know if it was real or not.
No, there was no rules.
No rules.
I mean, we were having fun with it. I mean, we knew when we left the house that we were going to do this, but that it was going to stay there, whatever it was. You know what I mean?
I was going to win. That's what I thought.
Yeah, it was a competition between friends. Yeah. Like, we were just going for it.
I'm competitive in like everything. So like, I don't want to lose.
Even
if it's my best friend, I'm like, no, I'll throw him under the bus. I'll cheat. Like, I'll do anything to win. And he knows it. Like, go-karts.
But he has a real miniature approach. I'll tell you that.
Don't matter.
He's a nice guy over here.
Yeah.
So
it'll be so nice to you that you'll want to quit.
I love it. That's awesome. So when there was a couple of times on the show where it looked like you guys were having a rough patch with each other. Was that real or was that just in that moment? Yeah. Don't look at me. Look at him.
Ask him. I don't know. I'm not mean to people, so I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I might have been beefing it up a bit.
And I might have been a little extra sensitive.
Yeah. See, I was like, you know, basically, we're best friends. We got to go at it every once in a while. That's my thought on the show. Anyway, whether we had feelings aside, you know what I mean? Like, we're like, well, this is kind of give him something, you know what I mean? So I had that state of mind, but I don't think he knew what the fuck I was talking about. So
yeah, he'd be like, say something mean and then go, I'm just kidding. And he was and like, what?
He's like,
fuck you or something. I'm like, what are you, why
you never
treat
me like this? Like, you never talked to me like that before. I'm like, oh my God.
And he'd be winking. I'm like, what's in your eye? And why am I crying? This hurts. I don't like this game. I was like,
trying to stir up some stuff for fun, man.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I love that so much. So then, okay,
I can forgive
I
what we said, but I can't forgive how I feel.
And you, as you know, they filmed, 12 hours a day for a month, and then they only have 12 hours total for the show. I mean, there's so much stuff that it just goes
they
off
edit,
the radar.
Like, you're not even that person. They can make you look like you're that other person when you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, they got us pretty close, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the producers, one of the things I keep saying over and over again on this podcast is that the producers were the real villains of these shows. they were the real master manipulators. And I love the producers and I formed friendships with many of them, but like, God damn.
They were brutal. I broke out of the house and he had to like give me a Snickers bar to get me back in there. Like, I came out and I was in the neighborhood running around and the producers had to come get me.
Yeah, I feel like everybody kind of had a meltdown on that show, like literally everybody. And
I wanted to leave. I don't care.
Well, you don't realize, the people don't realize there's no TVs, there's no clocks, there's no nothing. When lights are on, the cameras are out. And when you're filming before bed, like if you whisper to each other, they're going to come right back in the room yep. and start filming you again. We must have said goodnight 10 times in a row at one point. All right, goodnight. All right, goodnight.
Yeah, I remember in the cameras come right back because you're constantly mic'd. And yeah, on Rock of Love, the only way that we could communicate with each other if we didn't want the producers to hear is that we would write notes and like pass notes. We could only do it, obviously, the cameras were not there. But yeah, it was intense. And, you know, I've brought on so many of the cast members of all of these different shows and everybody has a similar perspective of just like how emotionally taxing it was on these shows. And as you said, like there's no TV, there's no books, there's no emails, there's no music, there's no, like everything is taken away. And it's just, and then you're given like all the alcohol, you know, a full
yeah.
bar.
And then they took it away from us.
Yeah, they started to hide it a couple times. That's why the spam got it.
Yeah, we had to yell and like revolt. Like we, you know, like we rebelled against. They wouldn't give it to us.
Are you serious? Yeah. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Oh, what's man. That when you like?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
What's that called when you're out in front of your workplace?
Well, it's different, I guess.
What's that? What's that when you're in front of your workplace with a sign? What's that called?
Protesting or something?
You're in front of your own work.
Oh, you can't. Like the guys that have the signs that like spin them around to advertise, or
no? The guys that they might work like right picketing? Here, but they're like,
oh, like the labor unions, like picketing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we were doing.
Right, just yelling the right word out.
Wow. So
listen to all three of us talk.
So hang on. Was it because it got too crazy? Why did they take away your alcohol?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about your household. It was all girls, you know? So with all guys, it's a lot more testosterone flying around, you know?
Yeah, more like it could lead to punching and stuff like that. With the girls, we just like pull each other's hair and, you know.
Yeah,
like,
and even if it's not something that's necessarily great to film, like it's too much. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, well, I have a vague memory of that one guy. I think his name was Flipper. Did he like, was that was your season, right? I remember watching him like, what? I know you guys all have to take psych evaluations. Like somehow some people like manage to get past these psych evaluations and end up on the show. Like that was insane.
Character. He's badass.
Even if he talks like that or acts like that, he didn't really say anything bad. You know what I mean? It just kind of got him in the wrong.
He cut himself in the face with a glass over his face. That's pretty crazy.
I forgot about that. Yes. Never
that
mind.
That's exactly
but he is cool and talented.
Yeah, I'm sure if you had caught him off the show, it would be a whole like a different thing. But
he has his own YouTube thing and he does stunts like that. So it's not surprising if you know him how cool it is.
He came into it with that stuff.
He came in.
It's kind of like he reminded me of like a cross between Jackass and like Andrew WK? The guy does a piano and smashes face of the brick. Remember that? Yeah. It was like a cross between those two. It was like that guy. Yeah, you guys had some crazy, crazy guys. What was your perspective on the guys? Like, did you guys get along with everybody? Was there ones that like got on your nerves more so than others? Were there ones that you thought were like particularly cool? And then answer that, and then I want to get to London.
I say though, everybody was cool. The only reason I would have anything against anybody is because it's a competition.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I met anybody on the street, that's just like, whatever, cool. But like, you're in a competition with somebody, like, that's automatically going to give you a state of mind towards a person, even if it's going to help you win or whatever it is, you know? Like, that's going in with that state of mind right off the bat. So it's like hard to decipher how these people are after all that, you know?
Yeah.
I liked all of them. I still like all of them. They're all cool. Even if they don't like me, I like them.
But yeah, I mean, we saw everybody like from the show and stuff after, and so I've never had anything with anybody really. I mean, I had something with London for a second there, but we made up.
Flex didn't like me.
What's that?
He thought I was faking because I'm just so nice all the time. Then he met me afterwards, and we hung and we still hang out. He's like, "You really like this?"
I was like, man, that was such a dick, bro.
I'm like, it's okay. You don't see yourself and how I see you and God sees you. It's okay.
Yeah, I in my mind, I want to see.
You're such a nice guy.
I want to see a world where like the cameras are off and Chi-Chi turns into like the Incredible Hulk and suddenly starts like, to, like telling everybody to fuck off and like his voice gets like two octaves deeper and he's like, get out of my way, I will kill you all.
I'm sneaky too, so I'll use that as my advantage, being nice, like, to make someone mad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, be extra nice to them, it makes them more mad, but it makes you feel good inside.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird and
I
selfish.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, rah, rah. I'm like, whatever.
Kill
them
with kindness. Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, it is a strategy that works. Kill them with kindness, for sure. But so, okay, I do want to bring up London, but I actually was just thinking of, I want to address this really quick because this is just incredibly amazing. Speaking of the producers, one thing that I could tell the producers and the editors just had a field day with was like all the little sound effects or like music. I mean, they did it to me on mine when I was like totally antagonizing Dallas on my season. I'm like, Dallas. And then of course they put like the like demonic pitch shifter on my voice. And then I recently had Hottie on, who was on Flavor of Love season one. And she's actually a really, really intelligent woman, very well-spoken, very articulate. Yet on her season, they had the like the chi-ching every time she blinked her eyes, you know, the sound effect.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and then of course on Daisy of Love, they had Fox, which like his whole little song that they gave him was hysterical. And then with you, like the baby music, I'm like, oh my God, these producers, I want to know, like, I really want to be in the room in the editing bay when they're coming up with this, because I'm sure they're just like, it's so ridiculous and over the top, the things that these editors do, that I'm sure they're in there just like crying, they were laughing so hard, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think the first time
they didn't put in too? They're hilarious. I guess I'm just super sensitive, so like he's all that little baby stuff. He's like, do I really sound like that when I talk? I was like, yeah, dude. Oh, the first episode, I'm like, is my voice? Oh my God, I didn't know that I sounded like that. And I heard myself on there. I'm like, dude, why is my voice so high? I'm like, what's up, man?
Oh.
But, oh, well, I like my voice.
I think you have a great voice. I like your voice, too.
Me, yeah. Too. I could sing good, so.
There you go. That's what matters. That's, yeah, important.
Yeah, so, it's all matters.
What did you think, though? I'm sure that like, you were not expecting that. You're like, okay, here's my new show. You probably like told all your friends and family, like, all right, here we go. And you're like, were you like, what the fuck?
Like, the first, what did you guys words, do to I was me? Like, I was, oh, my gosh. And then me and him was like little kids. And we're like, let's go out in public and see if it like, if anything happens. Because the producers, like, your lives are going to change. But we never believed it.
Yeah.
Because we're just normal, humble anyways. And we go out in public and it was like a little bomb of teenagers blew up. And they just,
yep,
ran to us. And like everywhere we went, we were swarmed. And it felt so good that they liked us and want to take pictures. And it,
yeah, it was pretty crazy for a second.
It made me feel good.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, we got crazy because of the bottles of alcohol in the clubs. They want us just to show up and, you know, I would just take pictures and they're lined up and, yeah.
It was really crazy times, and it is wild how much it changes your life, especially immediately after. It, like, for me, it was weird just being out, like, you know, walking across a parking lot to a grocery store and hearing someone like, Lacey. And I'm like, yeah, expecting it to be, like, somebody that you know, and you're looking around like, I don't see anybody I know. And, like, just getting used to, like, strangers knowing your name, for me, was a strange one, you know? It was weird.
I like it. I like the attention, you know?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was just something different.
Yeah, it felt good. It made me smile.
It was an interesting and fun part of the whole picture.
Yeah.
I think that the difference for like you guys and me, who, because I really did enjoy it as well, but I brought on a lot of people onto this podcast that did just couldn't cope with it at all. And I think the main difference is the fact that you guys are already entertainers. You're already in music and you're already in entertainment. So it was not that much of an adjustment. It was, but it was like an acceptable adjustment. Same thing for me as well. But a lot of the people who were on these shows that never were in entertainment at all, it was like a mind fuck for them. You know, it was hard, yeah, to cope with. So it makes
sense. It made us a lot better in the entertainment world. We both went into a big country band and he would open up every day and he was in the band playing keyboard and singing, and we toured on the tour bus for 10 years and we still are, but it's a lot of fun and open a lot of doors everywhere.
That's so
to
awesome.
Showcase our talents. People wanted us in their camp, as already established
which felt good, you know?
One thing that was crazy to me, being like just a fan of the shows and watching them from my couch, was the fact that a lot of guys were quitting on Daisy of Love, which was crazy. And also London, like leaving and then coming back. I mean, did you guys feel like that was unfair? Like, and I know Sinister, there was like a couple of things that happened where it kind of seemed like you were done dirty. You know, what was your perspective on all of that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, no one likes to get picked last in dodgeball.
He's gone already.
The guy already quit the team. Like, he's going to come back and then play star in the field. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And it was just, I think the bottom line is she wasn't feeling anybody else in that house, period.
Yeah.
I like London. And when he came back, I was like, what's up? Helped him out.
And I just, you know, took it for what it was. I mean, I was pissed because, you know, you fight your way through this whole thing and then somebody who already left way, way many challenges ago just lost his back.
He's still salty.
It was just...
Yeah, absolutely. And apparently he had some chick anyway. Like, I know that was kind of my perception too.
So that's even a topper, so...
It was crazy. So it was, I feel like a lot of these shows, like I had a feeling that Flavor Flav wasn't really there like for love. And I didn't really think Brett Michaels was either. But I did feel like Daisy was kind of really there to find somebody. And you're right. From what it looked like from my perspective, she had already kind of chosen London early on. And it was just so crazy to me how many of the guys just seemingly kind of just bailed. You know, they, even if you don't think you're going to have a relationship with Daisy, I would think that you'd want to see the show to the end. You know, was that weird to you that guys are bailing?
Because they knew. You don't have to say it. It's just something you feel inside. Like, you could tell if a girl's interested in you.
Yeah, that. And sometimes, like, you don't even know what's going on in their personal life anyway. Like, they come out of, from wherever they're at, picked out of the thing, put in the house to do all that. Like, you don't know what house they left, what they left from, what's going on there. You know, people, sometimes they're just, you know, maybe they just ducked out for some personal reasons, you know. Like, it's just...
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it makes sense. And so I'm going to skip ahead for a moment. And Chi-Chi, I want to talk about your experience on I Love Money season 4. Did you enjoy doing that show? Did you like doing that show more than Daisy of Love? Or did you like Daisy of Love better? What was your perception of being on I Love Money?
I would have won the show, but I messed up. But anyways, when I got kicked off, I went to the hotel and I escaped and I got 200 pesos and paid a local kid and I went fishing and before my outtakes and got all sunburned and the VH1 police came and got me with the boat.
VH1 police.
But before that, I took off all my speakers and I went inside a closet and hid for like probably 4 hours underneath all this stuff. And I had all these supplies and food and smoking stuff. And like, I was just going crazy. And I'm real competitive, but I messed up on the challenge, you know. But I was going to win, and then I tried to fight Punisher, who would have beat me up most likely. Britannia.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
me and her were, like, seeing each other. And then when she got to the island, she's like, ew, who are you? And I was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, I feel like there was kind of like a love triangle, sort of. Like, with, was it 20, with 20 Pack? Is that right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
It was, wait, let me look at my,
I never heard of that name.
Oh, yeah.
I heard 20 who?
I heard that he died. Rest in peace. I know. There's a few.
No, he's a real good guy.
Is that true?
No, he didn't die. She's
messing.
You're so mean.
I know. This is my way of not talking shit about people. Anytime somebody's name comes up that I would like to talk shit about, but I'm trying to be like the bigger person, I just say they died and then it gets me out of it every time. Then I don't have to say anything bad about them. And you know what? Maybe I'm helping that person out because maybe people like send them flowers or something. So it's like a win-win as far as I can tell.
But if they hear it, they probably only like died inside. Really died.
In my world, it's all like, you know, all roses. So that's my story. I'm sticking to.
Yeah.
So okay, so with Britannia, so you guys were genuinely, or at least from your end, you were feeling her, and like that was cool. And then she just like pretty much ghosted you.
Well, I mean, we hooked up or whatever, like young people do, and
right?
then when we seen each other again, because I kind of blew her off and didn't want to hang out with her.
For a few days. The truth comes
out. So then
out.
She see me. It was my fault. And I was just like playing the victim. But yeah, it was pretty much my fault.
Well, that's very honest of you.
No one knows it, but I just broke character. All good. Guy's a bitch. You know, like.
Wah, wah. So did you ever talk to her after that?
Not after the restraining order. Just kidding. No, I don't. I haven't talked to her.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I do wish her luck. I mean, she's a beautiful girl. Yeah. I have nothing bad to say.
She's doing like amazing for herself too, apparently. So she's like kicking her life. Yeah. So awesome, you guys. Well, I know that Sinister, I know you have to run, so we have to cut the interview short, unfortunately, but I'm really glad that I got to get the two of you together. And but before we go, can I give you guys a platform to give shout outs to where people can find your specific projects online?
Or
let's talk about what all you got going on.
Sinister has a brand new hat company called Fat Hat.
I like your hat, by the way. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I dig it.
Fat Hats Custom, Fat Hats Custom on Instagram. And there's a website and stuff. You can order hats from that. I'm doing that.
So he's partners with this guy, Billy. And they're all the biggest artists in Nashville right now. Like, can I say some names or no?
No, not yet.
Oh, man. Everyone knows these names. They're like on the,
That's
I'm just proud
awesome.
Of them about that stuff.
And I'm doing it on my radio show at Country Fried Mix on Instagram. It's a like country mix with hip hop beats and stuff. It's on the weekends on radios,
That's
country
cool.
radio stations all over America.
That's really
cool.
Like
you can listen to it.
Is Instagram the best social media platform of which fans can come find you?
Oh yeah, Sinister Rocks. That's my personal one.
Sinister Rocks.
Does he rock though?
I don't know.
I say he rocks. Hell yeah. We all rock.
I just wanted, it's just a question.
Ask the fans,
I'm thinking,
bro.
You guys are like
my
each
mom
other's.
Says I'm cool.
You're like each other's PR agent.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I have a YouTube channel called Chi Chi's Farm.
Oh.
And it has a bunch of music I'm doing. And then I'm opening up an Airbnb at my farm where you can come and do music, self development, workout, get a life plan, and like meditate. And all that stuff. I do like Wim Hof breathing out there. And
yeah, I might need to be the first one.
All this cool like stuff that is beneficial to you.
That's awesome.
So
I
that'll be
that.
Out soon.
And then you got your Instagram, right?
Yeah, but I don't.
You want to do that one?
No, yeah. I don't really.
You're not an
don't
Instagram
matter, or? But I do want people to hear some music because I'm going to be like singing at the Grammys and I'm going to be like one of the biggest stars in the world. Just want to put that out there in the universe.
I love it.
So it's
I'm
out there
it.
And I'm going to change a million of lives. I'm going to be a dad of over 400 kids and have foster homes and teach them self-development, how to love each other. And I got bigger dreams than that, but I'll tell you about them later.
Dude, that's just for starters.
I freaking love that. I think it's amazing. I'm so happy that you both are doing as well as you are. You're both kicking ass at life. It makes me really, really happy to see. And let's stay in touch. You guys don't be strangers.
Yes.
Absolutely. Anytime you want to come to Nashville, we'll take you out so you can forget about everything.
I'll hold your hand in public, please.
Hell yeah. And actually,
I might not ever let go, though.
Oh, I'm okay with that. Sinister, I actually think that... I think you might have met my husband, Johnny, way back in the day. And Johnny was friends with Daisy for a little while and helped her put a band together. And then I think he met you at a recording studio through her, I think. So I don't know if you remember that or not. But anyway, regardless, we'll all link up. And like, he loves you guys too and thinks you guys are great. So he's a musician as well. So
yeah, we'll take you out on the town. Maybe we get time.
Yay.
I'll take you out on the farm.
Oh, right. I'm all for it. That sounds amazing. Well, you guys get out of here, do what you got to do. And it was so nice talking to you. And thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
You're
See
welcome.
You.
Thank you for having
Love
us.
You. God bless
you're very
you
welcome.
Soon.
Love you guys. Have a good one. Bye.
See you later.
That was amazing. I love those guys so much. That was such a fun interview. And next week, I want to announce somebody that I'm really excited about as well. So you guys know that I was obsessed with Flavor of Love and especially season one. That was so much fun. Charm School with Monique. So I'm really excited. Next week, my guest is going to be Larissa, aka Boots, from Flavor of Love season one and from Charm School with Monique. So I'm really, really stoked to have her on next week, next coming Monday. Before I let you guys go, I talked at the beginning of the episode today about contributors. I want to give a quick shout out to some of the other contributors who, there's a lot of really great contributors to the podcast. I'm super grateful for everybody, but I just want to give a shout out quickly to some of the ones that have been particularly generous that really I can see they believe in me, they believe in the podcast, and I appreciate them so much. I already mentioned Mike Paquette, but I want to mention him again. Mike, thank you so much for being such a loyal contributor and for having faith in me in this podcast. I really appreciate you. Jennifer Grogan, you're amazing. Alex Week, Darren Ireland, Jesse Ortiz, Lara, Susan, aka Zena. Zena, you're such a badass. I love you. Beth Loden, Brooke McDonald, Caitlin Lulofs, Very Malcolm. Sorry if I'm butchering these names, you guys. Very Malcolm, Robert Yager, Camille Niello, and Corey Cooper. You guys, thank you so, so much for your generous contributions. I really appreciate you guys. And if any of you who are listening right now are not contributors yet, but you want to be, then definitely go check out the website, www.talkoflove.net, and click on contribute. And you can sign up for whatever tier you want. You can sign up to get rewards, Skype chats with me, video shout outs, reaction videos for the Rock of Love and Charm School seasons, and all kinds of cool stuff. So definitely go and check that out. And thank you guys so much for continuing to watch. If you like this podcast, please give it a thumbs up. Please hit the subscribe button. And I just appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for everything. I'll see you next Monday. And don't threaten me with a good time. Bye, guys.